Good morning, and thanks for coming out on this last day. I'm looking forward to sharing with you an innovative program we're pretty excited about at the University of Wisconsin and hearing from other similar programs so we can all learn from each other. Our program is called Integrative Cases, and here are our co-authors. One of them is here in our audience, Dr. Swain in the back. But I also want to say that these cases involve a lot of people putting in a lot of thought and work. So it's really, as we say, it takes a village to do these cases. I have no disclosures. So what I'll do today is just quickly tell you about the context in which these cases emerged, talk about the cases, which are really our way of getting public health into the curriculum in a very active and fun way. And then I want to focus particularly on what I think might be a more unusual approach, which is how we bring the community in, really make the community, public health people, like probably many of you, into medical educators. And then I'll tell you about what the outcomes have been. So the integrative cases emerged as part of a curriculum transformation at our school. In 2005, the name of the school changed from the School of Medicine to the School of Medicine and Public Health. And as part of that transformation, the goal was to get public health curriculum into public health curriculum throughout the curriculum and to try to do as much as possible active learning so students were not just full of lectures. So our integrative cases grew out of that as a way to bring active public health in. We required them of first and second year medical, they had no choice, first and second year medical students. We began them in 2008, 2009 with M1s, and then we brought in that cohort as M2s and the next group of M1s. Typically, there are two cases a semester for each year, one and two. And these are not part of the formal curriculum. That is, there are no grades, there are no assessments, but we do require attendance. And so, as you can imagine, we have to engage the students without a grade or an assessment. Where we placed them was, let me first describe how our curriculum works as part of this transformation. We now run 2 to 3 concurrent classes. And at the end of 3 to 5 weeks of these classes, students have what's called an exam, an assessment, and integration week. So from Monday to Wednesday, they have their exams. And Thursday, Friday, we get them hungover, sleepless, with no grades, and we have to get them to think about public health. So this is how it looks. They have a block, then they have the assessment and integration weeks. The good news of that is that that's all they do for those 2 days, so they're totally focused on it. The bad news is they're in pretty wretched shape. Okay, there's a lot of goals here and a lot of type. But the main thing we're trying to do is show them how what they're learning in the basic science courses, what they're learning in clinical medicine, really connects to public health, and they need to see those connections. To give them an idea of population and individual approaches to health, we bring in lots of different systems. We're trying to get them away from what they're doing in their classes, which is a lot of right and wrong, black and white answers, where they need to know things for the exams, and just get them to think, just get them to learn how to be lifelong learners. We always bring in patient perspectives, and as they move on, we try to make these applied skills. We're really just trying to get them to discover the many factors that affect health and how they, as doctors, can promote not just health for their patient, but also for populations. So the gist of them, in many ways, is first to learn by doing. And you can see in these pictures, on the left side is one of our trauma surgeons showing students and working with students on what happens in a drunk driving crash. So we do one of the cases, as I'll explain later, on drunk driving, and rather than just say to them, these are the patient injuries, we bring them into their anatomy lab and actually show them on a cadaver as a way to, again, try to make things active. On the right, you see we talk about built environment, and again, we have them walking through a neighborhood that has no sidewalks and talk about how that could change. So constantly trying to do things by doing, teaching them by doing. The other piece that I think is the core of it is really the message that clinicians can't do it alone. And to me, the iconic integrative case person is the pediatrician who went running down the hall one day, kind of pulling out her hair, saying, if I see one more obese kid, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't do anything for them in 15 minutes. And so we say to students, you have limits in what you can do in the clinic. But if you collaborate with, understand the role of public health people and the community, you can make a difference in your patient's life and in the population's life. And in emphasizing this public health approach, we rely on this model of social determinants that came out of our own county health ranking group led by Dr. Pat Remington, showing the clinical care by some estimates accounts for only about 20% of patient outcome. And these other social determinants, which I'm sure everybody in this room is very familiar with, are critical contributors to how their patients will do. And on the far right are the sort of subdivisions of the determinants. And you'll see, to the extent I can go into this in 15 minutes, we really bring in a lot of these through our cases. So, for example, under social and economic factors, community safety, they actually hear from an expert on gangs. In quality of care, they do quality of care issues. They talk about diet and exercise. So our goal is to make sure they understand how all these fit into the outcome. Or, and here's an IOM bid to Karen, as the IOM report showed, assuring the conditions for public health, all these players contribute to population health. And as these cases have evolved, we've really brought in all these different players, employers in business, the media. Typically in medical school, there's the focus on the healthcare delivery system and how you deliver clinical care. We're trying to expand it to include all of these. So how do they actually work with these lofty goals? We usually start out with an overview in which we lay out a problem. We then have either bring in or send students out to community leaders and faculty that have community projects. So some programs, and we may eventually adopt this also, will send students out to work in community agencies. We really have a system where we bring the students and the community people together in a short-term educational environment. And I'm going to spend more of my time today talking about that piece of it because I think it might be of greatest interest to this audience. And then we conclude with small group discussions, which Dr. Swain is one of our facilitators. This just shows a small group debriefing after they've attended these sessions with the community leaders. There are actually about 30 people in this room, 35. Topics we chose. We choose topics, and again, there are about four cases a year. We choose them based on the important public health issues in Wisconsin, and ones that really have a lot of juicy facets to explore. So our first case for the first years is we call What Brought You In Today, and I think it's a good example of these cases. It's a typical clinical comment, what brought you in today? My stomach hurts, my head hurts. But what we're saying is go further upstream and look at what brought somebody in today. Look at the social determinants that might have contributed to them coming in. So we take our first-year medical students, their first month as a medical student, and we send them to the emergency department for 2 hours to shadow an emergency physician. And we ask them to look at what determinants contributed to that visit, specifically going further upstream. It's quite an experience for new students. We had six faint the first year. We increased our supply of smelling salts, is that what they're called? and we did better this year. I actually don't think we had any faint this year, as I recall. But they really love it because it gives them clinical exposure. But then we take them about a month after they're in and really say, okay, what did you learn about how these upstream factors contributed to this visit and how, in order to prevent future visits, we would have to address these upstream factors. We also do, and we're about to do in about a week, healthy birth outcomes. And we have a two-part case that is our oldest case, actually, on drunk driving, which is a huge problem in Wisconsin. And that's, I think, one of our more powerful cases. For our M2 topics, we try to apply more and develop skills in our students. So we have the first case is a health advocacy case. Last year, we took all 175 medical students, taught them how to write state legislative testimony on several public health issues, pros and cons, and we brought them, as you can see in these pictures, we brought them to our state legislature where state legislators and their aides did a mock hearing with them, so actually did a hearing as if it would be that way, and students, I hope, said they did, became more comfortable with the idea of testifying at some point. This year we decided to go crazy and we're a little masochistic and multiplied it by five and decided that instead of just teaching them testimony, we would divide them into five groups and teach one group testimony, one group how to talk to media, one group how to do persuasive conversations with medical organizations and legislators, one how to write letters to the editor and op-eds, and then one which, don't ask too many questions about this, but one which was social media. They had a Twitter conference in which they advocated on public health issues using social media, which was really actually quite fun. The second case we did with the M2s was a poverty simulation we tied to a case on TV, and I think actually the video of this is going to work, so I'll show you how this looked. Basically, the students were all assigned roles. They were either part of a family, low-income family, or maybe a homeless low-income person, or an older or single low-income person, and they had to spend a month dealing with the issues that they would have to deal with. They had to pay the rent, they had to get to work, or they had to find a job, they had to take care of the kids, and they had a limited amount of money, but they had to live like a person with a limited amount of money would live. So let's see if this works. You see them going to caseworkers, social service caseworkers. Many of them had to pawn furniture. They bought guns. We trained these community people to be really tough nuts with them when they came. So the caseworkers didn't give them what they wanted necessarily. They're trying to be very realistic. These are the kids in school. They had to come to school and try to get money for a field trip, and they couldn't bring money in. We bought this kit from an organization in Missouri, and it was a huge, very powerful experience for these kids. We did a debrief afterwards, and they really were affected by the stress, and we talked to them about what that means about when your patients arrive and have been through this experience. We did a pilot with 50 of our students, and all but one, in the 98% or whatever, said this ought to be done more broadly, and actually a group went to the dean and requested that all the students have this. So let me talk for a little bit about how we bring the community in and work with our students. First of all, we reach all over campus to find people who have expertise related to our topic. So, for example, we heard that the School of Engineering was doing a simulation on drunk driving. They actually brought a car to the third floor of the engineering building, wired it with a big screen, and people could see what it was like to drive drunk. So we brought our students over there, a group of them, to try that. We work closely with our law school, which has a very strong patient advocacy program, helping people who don't have insurance navigate the system. Students are learning that. I actually was in line for lunch the other day at the convention center and noticed the person behind me with a Madison name tag and discovered, Joff, this will be of interest to you, that she is at our Population Health Institute in Madison and is an expert on birth outcomes that we hadn't discovered yet. So part of this is all finding the people who have the expertise and bringing them together. And we reach broadly into the community. We work closely with state and local health departments. City attorney, DA, for example, when we did our tuberculosis case, we brought in the person from Milwaukee who had argued a case before the Wisconsin Supreme Court about quarantine an infectious TB patient. We brought in school people. We brought in business people. We bring in the media. We've had our county executives, our state legislators participating. They do it through these 50-minute active sessions with small groups of students. You see here students went over to our local TV station and were interviewed by the reporter to get experience at talking to the media. Students choose two sessions to participate in. And our evaluation data, just starting with the community sessions, the students love these sessions, and actually the leaders love them too. That's one of the striking things. The leaders love coming in and talking to medical students, and the medical students are getting exposed to people they would not otherwise have in their curriculum, get to meet in their curriculum. So the ratings on these go from 1 to 7, with 1 being the best, and we're getting ratings between 1.3 and 3.8. And it's actually interesting, the 3.8 was a fairly large group that threw our average out, and it was the first time those people had participated, and they just did a straight PowerPoint presentation, unfortunately what I'm doing here, and the students were used to having engagement and interaction, and they didn't buy this idea of just sitting passively. So in some ways it was good that we had trained them not to expect just to have passive presentations. This is a large, busy chart, but the point is that if you look at the light highlights, we ask students after each case if we met our goals, and at the end of the first year and at the end of the second year, we ask how we've done with our overall goals. And you'll see that we're well into the 80s and 90s of students saying that we have reached our goals. The first column is the first year's. The second column is the second year's. Unfortunately, the response rate there was low. It was only about 50% of the class, but we think we're doing pretty well reaching our goals. other outcomes, and these are informal. We haven't documented these, but one of our challenges now will be to find a more formal way to document them because we keep hearing stories about the impact of these cases. We know students have gone to volunteer with the organizations that they've learned about, and they've even created their own. After our drunk driving case, students got interested in a beer tax, and they formed an organization to work with the legislature and lobby for public health things. We know they've gone to course directors that asked for more curriculum in certain areas, domestic violence being one of them, after they saw the case. We know that students have connected to people they met in these cases to do summer research and as mentors. We hear from the clerkship directors that they're different than previous cohorts of students. We've heard about career decisions affected by them and dissemination. The social media continues on these topics, and our representatives of the Organization of Student Representatives of the AAMC each year, where they have to pick a topic to talk about at the AAMC meeting, and they've been choosing integrative cases the last few years. Challenges. I mentioned the post-exam problem. It also, the way we've laid it out now, is it's specific days. We get them right after their block, so we don't have much flexibility. So if there's a great active event we would love to have them engaged in that doesn't happen to fall on one of those days, we can't do it. That said, we think this model is really applicable to different curriculum architecture. So if you're interested and your school doesn't have a block system, it certainly doesn't preclude this. We have experimented with this a little, and there's lots of different ways to place it. We're grant-funded, and now the challenge is going to be sustainability and having the school pick up the costs of this, which, by the way, is not real significant. It's a fairly low-cost effort. It's not as intense an experience as sending students out into the community and doing major community projects, which some of our clerkships do later. But both the costs and the result are more modest than that. And we have a largely volunteer faculty, and they do it because they like doing it and they think it's worthwhile and it's fun. But we've now done drunk driving 3 times, and I'm almost a little afraid to go back to our trauma surgeon and say, guess what, can you do the exact same thing again for free this year? So we're going to have to find a way to not rely so much on volunteer faculty. Lessons learned, I guess the first two are the ones that I'm most happy with. I sit in the back of the room and watch what computers are on and who's emailing during these things. Remember, they have no grades. This is not on their record at all. But it really is a lesson. At the medical education office, we talk about assessment drives learning. The students will learn what they need to learn for an exam. But they don't have an exam, and they don't have a grade, and they are mostly really engaged. I mean, there's a core that is not. But the students are amazingly engaged and appreciative of the opportunities to meet with these really interesting people, to be exposed to so many people they wouldn't otherwise. So it isn't just that, you know, I have a little assessment drives learning, and then I want to add an interest drives learning to our little mantra in our office. And the other thing, and this is where I'm speaking probably to a lot of you, is we have uncovered just tremendous resources of people who have so much to offer our medical students in the community, public health leaders, and the rest of campus, and everybody benefits from it. And they've never been asked before, and they're really thrilled, and they come back year after year. Again, the community people get no pay at all. We pay patients $50, but they get no pay, and they just like doing it. And students also appreciate the exposure to these people and the change of pace from, you can imagine, like with the poverty simulation, after sitting in exams for 3 days, to be running around trying to find a way to get to work and things gives them just a whole different pace, which they really appreciate. So this is just one quote of many that we have on our evaluations. You know, we have some really nice quotes from students saying what this means to them. Not for everybody, I'm sure, but for a large number, we're really pleased that this has worked out as well as it has. Thank you.